That right now. I know Brother David tonight. I have so been locked because I've worked him to death back here. But it's good to see everybody tonight. I have so been looking forward to this time. And I'm so grateful, Brother Butch, for the opportunity to speak tonight. I am an evangelist, not a pastor. There's a difference. But I'm glad that God used us both. Amen. And we're just so glad to have the opportunity to be here. We traveled for about 20 years in full-time evangelist all over the United States in evangelism until my health got so bad that I had to retire. I had to have a lot of surgeries, major surgeries. And sometime we'll tell you about that. But in any event, I just want to say how good it is to see all of you tonight. My friend Les Parker is here tonight, and I know, Les, that was hard for you to come because his wife just got out of the hospital. His son's been in the hospital, and, I mean, he's had a plate full, and I'm glad that he came tonight. I appreciate him very much. He's a dear, dear friend, and I'm glad he's here tonight. You know, when we came to the country church, we really didn't know what to expect, and we walked in the doors there, and of course, if y'all see me around, you see how I walk, and it's not very good. And so when I got through those double doors, there was a young man by the name of Kevin. Anybody know who that is? He's right there. And he made his way to me and really didn't even know why, I guess, but he didn't know how much God was using him at that time. And Kevin befriended me immediately. And I'm so glad he did and made me feel so comfortable and so at home and just was a tremendous blessing to me. And Kevin, I want you to know that publicly, brother, how much I appreciate it. And he didn't have to do that. He's a young man and I'm an old man. And so I appreciate it, Kevin. I love you in the Lord, brother. I appreciate you. Can y'all believe that I've got Marvin and Diana Kraft on the third pew down here? He's trying to escape. I can see that. Have y'all ever been out to eat with Diane? Son, it's a mess. Well, she's a mess. Amen. But anyway, no, we love them. They're my family. They're my wife's, is it first cousin? Second cousin. So we're family. And for those of you, incidentally, doesn't know my wife, Lana, she's right there next to them. So and so anyway, God bless y'all. Marvin, you know, we didn't get to see them, but maybe, I don't know, once or twice a year just by accident. Sometime not that often. And now, would you believe almost every Sunday we get to go out and eat? It's been the most wonderful, wonderful time. And I cannot tell them how much I've enjoyed that and how much I appreciate that fellowship that we've been able to have with them. I'm so thankful for that tonight. Well, the most exciting hour of the day is here. Amen? The preaching of the Word of God. And I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, and we're going to begin reading in just a moment in verse number 1, and I'm going to read down through verse number 4, but listen to Brother Mark, don't put your Bible up, because before I finish, I'm going to get through about 28 verses, okay? So you keep your Bible. Now, don't get nervous. It'll happen quickly, amen? I want to preach to you tonight on the gospel according to Joseph. The gospel according to Joseph in Genesis chapter 45, verse number 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. God Almighty, I come to you tonight, Father. I need you, Father, very much right now. Father, I need you to touch my body. Give me strength that I didn't know I had. Help me to stand, God. Father, thank you for this place that we love so much. Thank you for Brother Butch, for the staff. God, just bless them in a mighty, mighty way. Bless Brother David at this time. And he's lost his father. I know. I've been there. I know what that's like. So bless him. Thank you, God, for loving us. Bless this message. And God, may somebody leave here tonight saying it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, folks, if you're like I am, go ahead and be seated. You're going to have a good time in the Word of God tonight. Because you see, folks, this is the kind of message that sets your soul afire. Amen? And it's the kind of message that you will love. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it's about Jesus. Amen? And there's nothing better than messages about Jesus. And folks, I want you to know that I love the Bible. And I love to see Jesus manifested in the Bible. Now, we all expect to see him in the New Testament, don't we? But I'm going to tell you something. I love to see Jesus in Old Testament form. He's there in what we call type or prophecy or picture. Now, I know that there are some scholars that will say it's not too good to refer to Jesus in type because it leaves far too much room for all types of fanciful interpretations of the Word of God. Well, whatever. Because I believe tonight, before I finish this tonight, you're going to find out that Joseph is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll be excited about it, folks. I really do. Now, having said that, folks, I want you to know that there's a lot in the life of Joseph's life. Far too much than I could ever preach in the time that I've been allotted tonight. But I will say to you that Joseph's life is really divided into four major categories or divisions. Amen? First of all, we see Joseph as he is the beloved son of his father. Secondly, we see Joseph as he is the rejected servant. You say, Brother Mark, what do you mean? Well, he was sent to his brethren, and his brethren conspired against him. And in a sense, in a type, they really crucified him. And they put him in a pit and sold him to a caravan going to Egypt. Amen? And so we see him as the rejected servant for sure. But then also, folks, the third thing, we see him as he is the exalted sovereign. He's an exalted sovereign. But Mark, what does that mean? Well, folks, he is taken from what was supposed to be death. And suddenly he is now exalted to the right hand of the most powerful man in all the world, Pharaoh. Joseph is seated next to Pharaoh. Are y'all getting this? Because you look kind of funny. Amen? But does that sound like anybody you may know? Seated, say that again. Oh, yeah. Y'all are better than I thought. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. All right, hang on, because we're going to get into this in a minute, okay? All right. So, we find one other thing about Joseph in this division we're talking about. We see him as the seeking Savior. All of the world had to come to Joseph for their salvation, and the hope of the world was in the hands of a rejected Jew. Now, let me tell you something tonight. there's no way that we're going to be able to get into all four of these major categories. So I've selected one. And it's the very last one that I want you to listen to me about tonight, and I want to deal with in this message tonight. The first thing that I want you to see in this seeking Savior that we're talking about, remember, folks, what we're talking about. We're looking for Jesus, amen? And how Jesus, we want him to jump off the pages, amen? All right, look at, as shadowed in the scriptures, there was a confrontation with Joseph and those brothers. Just as there is a confrontation that takes place between the Lord Jesus Christ and a lost man. Come on. Amen. And so, you say, well, Brother Mark, how does that work? Well, I'll tell you how it works. Joseph's brothers had thought by now that surely he was dead. I mean, they had done everything they could to make sure of it. And then they threw him into that pit and sold him to a caravan going to Egypt. And so, by God's divine providence, guess what? These brothers find themselves standing in the same room as Joseph. Amen? Now, folks, these are the same brothers that should have been put to death. Not Joseph, but the brothers. And so suddenly, they find themselves standing right there in the presence of Joseph. And guess what? Joseph said, fellas, I'm your brother. But guess what? They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. Joseph said, I'm your brother whom you sold unto Egypt. What a beautiful picture this is of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. Look at it, because you see, folks, he had a heart that was full of love. Look at verse number 2. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. He had a heart that overflowed with love. Amen? Now listen, because you see, folks, at the outset of this, when you read this carefully, it really doesn't seem like that Joseph had a heart full of love. When you study this, if you're not careful, it sounds like that Joseph was a man of hate in his heart towards these brothers. And let me show it to you. Turn back to chapter 42 and look at verse number 7. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. Now watch this. But made himself strange unto them. And he spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, which come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph said, and Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Amen? Well, Joseph sure didn't seem like a heart. His heart was full of love. So why do you suppose Joseph did that? Why do you suppose he talked to those brothers in that fashion? Well, I'm going to tell you why, folks. Joseph knew that if those brothers were ever going to be reconciled, if they were ever going to be saved, they had to first realize exactly what they were. And that was a dirty, rotten, nasty, stinking, filthy sinner. Amen? Now, you still with me tonight? Because you see, folks, Jesus, I want you to know there's always a confrontation that takes place between a lost man and the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, dear friends, sometimes Jesus brings pain into our life because he loves us. So that we can come to the point in our life and stop and see what we really are. What does that mean, folks? It means this. You can't get saved if you don't know you're lost. And let me just say this too, folks. Salvation, I don't know about you, but I like to know I get something when I get it. Amen? I mean, if you got something and you didn't know you had it after you got it, you could lose it and never miss it. Amen. Thank you. So, folks, I like to know when I get something, especially salvation. Amen. But, friend, you'll never get saved if you can't admit you're lost. And Joseph knew that, and so he had to do something. He had to say something that these brothers could understand what they were. Secondly, notice this. Not only was there a confrontation with Joseph, but there was also conviction by Joseph. What happens, folks, when you get saved? Well, you get confronted by the Lord Jesus. And once you get confronted, guess what happens then? Oh, yeah! You get under conviction, amen? Well, I guarantee you, when Joseph revealed himself, there was a confrontation that took place between those brothers, but I'm here to tell you, folks, there was heavy conviction that fell too. I've often said, I would have liked to have got this scene on video, wouldn't you? Hit the rewind button right there. Amen? Huh? Yep. And so there was conviction. Look in chapter 45, verse number 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. You know what that word trouble means? Terrified. Scared to death. Amen? And I want you to know, folks, these brothers had every reason in the world to be scared to death. Amen? These brothers had, in a sense, crucified Joseph, and now Joseph is seated at the right hand of the most powerful ruler in all the world. And I'm here to tell you that Joseph now had the power to put him to death. He was the supreme judge. Wow. Are y'all finding Jesus anywhere in this? Amen? Huh? Hallelujah, everywhere, somebody says. Yes, sir. Joseph stood before his brothers, and I guarantee you, folks, he could have condemned them. And I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, if Joseph would have condemned those brothers, everybody in the countryside would have said, good for you, Joseph, they deserved it. Come on, folks, amen? Guess who else deserves it? Amen? You know, isn't this interesting, folks? These brothers would have never known that it was Joseph, their brother, if he had not told them so. They would have never known it. Guess what? You're not ever going to get saved unless God reveals himself to you. Unless Jesus draws you. You see, folks, it's not your idea, it's his. It's not your plan, it's his. Amen? You say, Brother Mark, how do you know that? John chapter 6, verse 44. I'm not going to read it. You read it yourself sometime. Amen? I've already done my homework, amen? Well, there's a third thing. Now watch it carefully. What do we have? Well, first of all, folks, there was a confrontation. Then came conviction. And then, dear friend, I want you to notice number three, there was a conversion. Can anybody see Jesus in here somewhere? Amen? Look at verse number 4, chapter 45. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. This is amazing, folks, to me, because these are the brothers that had earlier willfully wronged Joseph on purpose, willfully wronged him, and they deserved the punishment to the max. But I want you to know, dear friend, Joseph loved these brothers in spite of what they had done. And so guess what Joseph does? He doesn't order their execution. He puts his hands out and he says, come unto me. And guess what? These brothers came. And Joseph forgave those brothers and reconciled them. Hallelujah. Get this, folks. Joseph was not minimizing sin. You understand that? He wasn't putting his stamp of approval on what those brothers had done to him. He was maximizing the grace of God. See, folks, when you look at Calvary, you can look at it from one of two ways. If you're lost, it's a tragedy. But if you're saved, it's triumphant. Amen? I hope you're saved. And if you're not saved, I hope you get saved. Amen? You see, folks, there was also a fourth thing that took place. Is this pulpit kind of rickety? It sure feels rickety. If I do this very much, Brother Butch, we're going to have to kind of shore this thing up a little bit. Oh, my goodness. Let's look and see what happens, folks, because you see, there was also the communion that took place, and there was that commission that Joseph gave to those brothers. There was a commission that he gave to them. First of all, folks, they got confronted by Joseph, then they got under conviction, then they got saved. Amen? And right after he got saved, he gave them a commission. Is anybody thinking of what I'm thinking about? Matthew 28. Come on. You're right there. Hey! There it is. Amen. That's the commission he gave to us. Amen. And to this church. Go and tell the world. Preach to them. Baptize them. Amen? And so Joseph looks at these country bumpkins that just got saved. And he says, guys, I want to charge you with something. And I want you to listen to me. Here's the commission. Verse number 9. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, least thou and thy households and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that ye have seen. And shall haste and bring down my father hither. Stop right there just a minute. You see, folks, the years have now passed. And Jacob, Joseph's father, figured that Joseph has been dead a long time. Why? Because those brothers had brought that coat of many colors. You remember that, amen? But it wasn't just a coat of many colors, it was bloodstained. And they showed it to Jacob and said, Jacob, this is the blood of your son Joseph. He's dead. We saw it. He's dead. And so Joseph had already wept. He had already mourned over the loss of his son. Amen? And so guess what? It's going to get real now. Amen? Because Joseph looks at those brothers and says, guys, listen to me very carefully, because there's two or three things I want you to do. And the first thing I want you to do, number one, you go tell my daddy I'm not dead. Thank you. He said, the second thing I want you to do, you tell him I am at the highly exalted position. I am seated next to Pharaoh. And I'm one of the most powerful men in all the world. And then thirdly, you tell him I'm fabulously wealthy. Amen. Look, guys, I know amen and hallelujah, those are kind of hard words to say sometime. I know that. What about hot dog? Brother Butch is going to say, oh, don't do that Sunday, please. Don't do that. Oh, my goodness. And then Joseph said, now the last thing I want you to tell my dad is this. You tell him that I have made provision. Does this sound like anybody you know? Provision for him, and I want him to come and live and dwell with me. Oh my. If I wasn't so beat up, I'd run a little bit, but thank you, ma'am. It's funny, when we used to travel all over the country, we'd go over to Louisiana, Alabama, somewhere in that area, and when they'd say the word hallelujah, they'd drag it out. Hallelujah! You know, it's funny. And then when we would get up north around Michigan, Illinois, they spoke with a quickness, you know? Hallelujah! What'd you say? You know? When you get around the country church, well, folks just don't say it much. Oh, I don't know where that came from. Amen. Hang on to this pulpit. Man. And then I want you to know, folks, look at this reunion that took place in, I believe it's verse 14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. What a reunion this must have been. Amen. These brothers that hated him with a passion now suddenly find themselves putting their arms around Joseph, and Joseph putting their arms around them, and having a love affair as a family. Wow. All right. Let me get to the sixth point, because there was the completion. And I want you to look at verse number 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, laid your beast, and go get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of all of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. What a completion this was, because you see, folks, Joseph, God help me, Joseph is standing there with his brethren, and he says to these brothers, hey guys, would you like to meet Pharaoh? And they said, Joseph said, yeah, Pharaoh, you know. And they said, oh, yes, we'd love to meet him. And so Joseph looks over there and says, hey, Pharaoh, come here a minute. And so Pharaoh comes over there and he says, Pharaoh, listen, I want you to meet somebody. These are my brothers, and I love them all with all my heart. And Pharaoh looks over there and he says, those country bumpkins are yours? And Joseph said, yes, Pharaoh, aren't they beautiful? And Pharaoh says to Joseph, Joseph, do you vouch for them? And Joseph said, oh, yes, Pharaoh, they're mine. And Pharaoh said, well, good, give them all of Egypt. Is anybody but me getting this? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? The whole time that Joseph was introducing those brothers to Pharaoh, he never once mentioned their guilt. I may let you help me yet, brother. Amen. You see, folks, in my younger days, there would be splinters all over the place up here. I'll tell you that right now. Am I right, Mom? One of these days, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to have to. We're going to stand in the portals of heaven. Amen. With the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is going to look at us, and we'll be talking and visiting and fellowshipping and just having the time of our life. And Jesus is going to say, shh, just a minute, guys. I want to ask you something. Would you like to meet God? And you know what we're going to say? And Joseph is going to say, or Jesus is going to say, yeah, well, yeah, Joseph, y'all getting this, aren't you? He's coming, huh? Jesus is going to say, yes, how would you like to meet my Father? He's wonderful. Oh, Jesus, is it possible? Can we meet him? And Jesus is going to say, watch this. Father, could you come here just a minute? Dad, could you come here just a minute? And here comes God. And you know what we're doing? That felt pretty good. So God comes over, and Jesus said, Dad, I have wonderful news. I want you to meet my family, and they belong to you, God. This is our family right out here. Look at them, God. And God's going to look at us, and he's going to look at Jesus, and he's going to say, these country bumpkins. I understand that when he looks at Marvin. Amen. I understand that. And Jesus says, yes, Dad. They're mine. And God says, well, son, let me just ask you one question. Can you vouch for them? Go ahead. Help yourself. Go ahead. Help yourself. And Jesus is going to say, Dad, they've been bought by my blood, and they're mine. They're mine. And God is going to look at us, and he's going to say, son, give them all of heaven. Are y'all getting this? For you're killing me, amen? I'm going to leave you with this, folks. There's actually more of this, but I can't do any more. So I'm going to leave you with this. Come on, Brother Butch. Brother David, y'all get ready. You see, folks, the whole time that Jesus was talking to his dad and introducing us to his Father, God, not once did he ever mention our guilt. Because you see, folks, when you get saved and washed by the blood of the Lamb, those sins have been put in God's grave of forgetfulness, never to be charged against you again. And they are as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah.